Our parashah this week is from Leviticus chapter 16 through to chapter 20. It's Acharei Mot, and also combined with it, Kiddushin, after the death and the righteous ones. Acharei Mot means after the death of Nadav and Avihu, the sons of Aaron, who tried to offer unholy fire to God, and then fire consumed them. Avihu and Nadav died needlessly because they disrespected Adonai and his holy place. They did the sin of Cain, that of convenient, self-focused worship, minimal cost and minimal commitment to Adonai. We cannot approach Adonai in our own ways and our own terms with our own standards for atonement, for redemption, for worship, for holiness. We must approach God in God's way. Leviticus chapter 16, verses 1 to 2. Let's start with that. Adonai spoke with Moshe after the death, that's the Acharei Mot, of Aaron's two sons, when they tried to sacrifice before Adonai and they died. Adonai said to Moshe, "Tell your brother Aaron not to come at any time into the holy place beyond the curtain, in front of the ark cover, which is on the ark, so that he will not die, because I appear in the cloud over the ark cover. Here is how Aaron is to enter the holy place." And then he starts by saying, with the young bull, as a sin offering, as a ram, as a burnt offering, and then gives a long list of instructions. But it's instructed here not to for Aaron to come in at any time in any way into the holy place, into the Holy of Holies, and not everyone can come. I'm glad how the new covenant, we can boldly approach the throne of grace, as it says there in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 4. This week's parashah of Leviticus chapter 16 through to chapter 20 focuses how we are to approach Adonai, to worship God in an acceptable way to God, and then how we are to live out our worship to God towards other people around us. Leviticus 16 provides a long list of instructions for the God way to enter into the holy place, but only one person once a year, that's a Kohen HaGadol, the high priest, and then with the blood of the sacrifice animal. It's a representative mediator, the high priest representing all the people, with a substitution atonement blood, the animal sacrificing for that of human lives. But the writer of Hebrews tells us that this is insufficient, as all creation is affected by sin, corrupted, can't fix corruption. The greater is required, that's why the new covenant was needed. But keep in mind, God's love desires more than one person once a year to come into his presence. He wants us all to fellowship him with spirit and truth. Aaron, as Kohen HaGadol, is given specific instructions how to worship. Worship must be done in God's way and not worship in an haphazard way. Instructions are given for the scapegoat, the time of Yom Kippur, for the serving of the altar of incense. And perhaps I can point you here back to my last message of how you are called to be the living altar of incense. Instructions are given for the correct way to serve Adonai, worship Adonai on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. We move from there into chapter 17, where it talks about the location of the worship place. We can only worship at God's appointed place, the tabernacle, and then later the temple. You were not allowed and permitted to use the sacrifice altars of convenience that are scattered throughout the country called the high places. And this is one thing that God came against many times in the times of the prophets. If you don't bring your sacrifice and your offering to the Lord, in the Lord's house, in the Lord's way, then it's not accepted, and you are also cut off then from being the Lord's people. If you can't do it God's way, then it's the highway, God's way or the highway. And this spiritual principle still stands for today. Leviticus chapter 17, verses 10 to 11. Don't drink, eat the blood, or your nation is affected by sin, corrupted, can't fix corruption. The greater is required, that's why the new covenant was needed. But keep in mind, God's love desires more than one person once a year to come into his presence. He wants us all to fellowship him with spirit and truth. Aaron, as Kohen HaGadol, is given specific instructions how to worship. Worship must be done in God's way and not worship in an haphazard way. Instructions are given for the scapegoat, the time of Yom Kippur, for the serving of the altar of incense. And perhaps I can point you here back to my last message of how you are called to be the living altar of incense. Instructions are given for the correct way to serve Adonai, worship Adonai on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. We move from there into chapter 17, where it talks about the location of the worship place. We can only worship at God's appointed place, the tabernacle, and then later the temple. You would not allowed or permitted to use the sacrifice altars of convenience that are scattered throughout the country called the high places. And this is one thing that God came against many times in the times of the prophets. If you don't bring your sacrifice and your offering to the Lord, in the Lord's house, in the Lord's way, then it's not accepted, and you are also cut off then from being the Lord's people. If you can't do it God's way, then it's the highway, God's way or the highway. And this spiritual principle still stands for today. Leviticus chapter 17, verses 10 to 11. Don't eat the blood or you're cut off from the people. Leviticus 17, verse 10 says, when someone from the community of Israel or one of the foreigners living with you eats any kind of blood, I will set myself against that person who eats blood and cut them off from his people. For the life of the creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for yourself. It is the blood that makes atonement because of the life, the blood of the animal given for the blood of the human. The wages of sin, the penalty of sin, is death. The soul that sins shall die. We need blood sacrifice to make the ultimate atonement, but the blood of the sacrificial animals is insufficient. Greater was required. The writer of Hebrews ties this verse to the blood of Yeshua as God's ultimate sacrifice for our atonement. After the second temple was destroyed by the Romans, tragically our ancestors decided they didn't need blood. The leader of the Sanhedrin at the time, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, said we need three things out of mitzvah, of good deeds, siddur, the prayer, the reading from the prayer book, and tzedakah, of giving to the poor. But it's insufficient to the ways of God because God's way requires blood atonement. Where do you have the blood atonement amongst our people? The second half of this Torah portion, the parasha, is the Gad of Kedoshim, the righteous ones, and it starts in chapter 18. And instructions are given there against sexual and lifestyle sins. A whole list of instructions are given. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 3 summarizes all this. Do not act like the people in Egypt where you used to live, or like the people of Canaan where I am taking you. You must not imitate their life, their ways of life. Then it says after that, follow my ways, and gives a whole list of ways how we are to follow. At the end of chapter 18, it says, do not defile yourself in any of these ways, for the nations I'm driving out before you have defiled themselves in this way. Because of that, the whole land has become defiled, and I'm punishing the people who live there. I will cause the land to vomit them out. A very graphic illustration of the lamb vomiting the people out. Then it says, keep my statutes, in other words, my regulations, my judgments, in other words, my decisions, not yours. My ordinances, what I require, not what you require. God has the right to make the rules of how we are to worship him because he is God. We live the life and we worship God in his way, or it's the highway, God's way or the highway. Goes into Leviticus chapter 19. You must be holy because I am holy, God says. If you want to hang with me, then you've got to be like me. If you want to come close to me, you have to be like I am. And then it lists many ways to be holy. First of all, to God, that vertical relationship, and then to those around us, our neighbor, which is that horizontal relationship. We say the Shema every week, that of loving God, but also loving our neighbor around us. Chapter 19, verse 37, observe all my regulations and my rulings and do them because I am Adonai. In other words, you're not. You don't make the decisions of how you are to worship me. Many times it says, I am the Lord. Be holy like me if you want to come close to me. Leviticus chapter 20, don't worship Moloch. In other words, the realm of child sacrifices. And at the end of chapter 20, the end of our parasha, a reminder again of not doing life like the nations which God is casting out of the land, or they will be cast out as well. Be holy because God is holy. The whole parasha of Acharei Mot and Kedoshim is about living and worshipping God by God's ways. not living a lifestyle of convenience by our own standards, or else the land, our life, will vomit us out, or we die like Nadav and Avihu. We must worship God by God's ways, not by our ways. If we don't, then we're out from being God's people. We can't be called God's people if we don't live according to God's way. It's like in marriage. We love our spouse in the way that they want to be loved, not by our convenient ways, but according to how they want to be loved. So much to say on this, but I want to shift to the Haftarah. The Haftarah, we have one from Ezekiel, but also that's got so much we could say there, but that's another message at another time. But I want to focus on the Haftarah from Amos, chapter 9, verses 7 to 15. You can read them. The prophet Amos deals with those who had disobeyed and had done the wrong thing and had lived according to the ways of the land, not according to the ways of God. And they're about to be cast out of the land. God said, don't live like the Egyptians or Canaanites. But this is what the people actually went and did. Amos's prophecies about rebuilding God's house after they repent and come back into the land. But he doesn't prophesy the rebuilding of Moses' tabernacle or of a temple again. Instead, the house, God's house after the exile, should be fashioned according to David's tabernacle. Chapter 9, verse 11 of Amos. When that day comes, I will raise up the fallen Sukkah of David. I will close up its gaps. I will raise its ruin. I will rebuild it as it used to be. David's tabernacle was established with blood sacrifice. But after that, it was maintained with sacrifices of praise and of worship. The presence of Adonai in the Shekinah glory above the Ark of the Covenant wasn't just for the Kohen HaGadol one time once a year, but David's tabernacle is believed to be an open-sided tent, and the Ark and the Shekinah glory were available for all who worshipped in spirit and truth through praise and worship. All worshippers could come if they came into God's presence with the focus on God, not on self, and living a holy life that God had considered holy as according to Torah. What was the purpose of rebuilding David's exclusive tabernacle? I love it best how the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, done about a couple of hundred years before the days of Yeshua, says, in order that the remaining of humans and all the nations whom my name has been called might seek me out, says the Lord who does these things. So the purpose was to be inclusive, include all the nations into the ability to worship God. Sadly, when our people came back from Babylon, they built the exclusive style of Moses and of the Temple of Solomon, not according to that of David. So where do we find Amos's prophecy taking place and coming to pass? Fast forward into the New Testament, in the New Covenant times of the early believers of Yeshua, as recorded in the book of Acts. Adonai was doing things differently with the New Covenant, with the Brit Hadashah, than what he did in the Tanakh and the older covenants. In the new covenants, Gentiles are accepted as Gentiles if they worship in spirit and truth in God's ways. But we find that when you try to do something new, everybody comes against it. Many Gentiles had accepted Yeshua. They remained as Gentiles. They were righteous living Gentiles according to the realm of our parashah of Leviticus 18 through to 20. But some of the strict Pharisees who believed in Yeshua said Gentiles first need to become Jews before they accept Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah. That's how it'd been done for 2,000 years from the days of Abram. If anybody wanted to worship the God of Abram, the God of Israel, they had first to become Jewish in order to access the Jewish sacrificial altar, have their sins atoned so that the Jewish Kohen HaGadol could represent them in the Day of Atonement, as according to Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 17. And so the two sides, yes, Gentiles can be Gentiles. No, they've got to become Jews, called a major rift, and they caused a major gathering of believers into Jerusalem to decide the outcome. The whole debate of Acts chapter 15, the issue is, can Gentiles accept Yeshua as the Jewish Messiah, as their Messiah, while still being Gentiles, or do they first need to become Jews to accept the Jewish Messiah, as had been done for 2,000 years? Starts off, Cephas Peter talks about the vision he had in Jaffa and the experience of going first to the Gentiles. Verse 8, he says, and God, who knows the heart, bore the Gentiles witness by giving them the Ruach HaKodesh to them, just as he did to us, as Jews. That is, he made no distinction between us as Jews or them as Gentiles, but cleansed their heart by faith. Barnabas and Rav Shaul also gets up there and tells how Adonai did many miracles amongst the Gentiles. In other words, that of acceptance. Finally, Yaakov, James, stands up as the leader, and he makes the appeal to Amos 9. Yaakov broke the silence to reply, "Brothers, hear what I have to say. Shimon has told in detail what God did as he first began to show his concern for taking them from among the Gentiles, a people to bear his name. And the words of the prophets are in complete harmony with this, for it is written, 'After this, I'll return.'" He's quoting from Amos 9 here. "I'll return, I'll rebuild the fallen tent of David, I'll rebuild its ruins, I will restore it, for the purpose that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, that is, even all the Gentiles who've been called by my name, says Adonai, who is doing these things." And then he says, "This has been known for the ages." We all know this. "Therefore, my opinion is that we should not put obstacles in the ways of the Goyim who are turning to God. Instead, we should write them a letter to abstain from four things." And these four things are both for Jews and Gentiles. First of all, then these are major headings for that of pagan worship. From things polluted by idols, you cannot worship two gods at once. From fornication, referring probably to the fertility cultus. And thirdly, from things that are strangled, a way of keeping the power of the breath of the animal, the ruach of the animal in their bodies. And fourthly, from blood, that of blood atonement, which we also read earlier in our parasha. "For the earliest times, Moshe has had in every city those who proclaim him, with his words being read in the synagogue every Shabbat. David's tabernacle enabled all those nations who were previously acting like the Egyptians and the Canaanites, but now wanted to accept Yeshua as their Messiah. They could come close to God and could do so. They gained access, Gentiles gained access to Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah, by the spiritual principle of David's tabernacle. And the purpose of rebuilding David's tabernacle is for the Gentiles to gain access while still being Gentiles. As we said before, no convenient worship in whatever way we want to do it, but both Jew and Gentile must worship God in God's ways. There's no mix and match. They will all learn, both Jew and Gentile, each week as they attend the services to learn how to walk in righteousness and live before God, the vertical relationship, and then before the neighbor, the horizontal relationship. It's learned as they say. Verse 21, "From earliest times, Moshe has had in every city those who proclaim me, with his words being read in the synagogue every Shabbat." The Gentiles are not required to become Jews to accept Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah, and because of by the principle of the tabernacle of David. Gentiles are required to live righteously, just as Jewish people are called to live righteously. We all live by God's standards. Which leads us into the Brit Hadashah, the new covenant passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 20. Which says, "Don't you know that unrighteous people have no share in the kingdom of God? Don't delude yourself. People who engage in sex before marriage, who worship idols, who engage in sex after marriage with someone other than their spouse, who assault people with contemptuous language, who rob, none of them will share in God's kingdom. Some of you used to do these things, but now you've cleansed yourself. You've been set apart by God. You've come to be counted righteous through the power of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah and the Spirit of God." This is actually the verse that Israel Folau quoted and got his lost his rugby career over. But it's a mini summary of our parasha of Leviticus 16 to 20, the Kedushim, the realm of how we approach God and how we live God out to others. In summary, Gentiles are fully accepted by Adonai. Jew and Gentile, one a Messiah who came for all humanity. Both Jew and Gentile are still called to walk righteously before Adonai, or else risk being cut off from his people. Take encouragement from this passage that Adonai wants you to live in his presence, but in his ways of holiness and righteousness. This is for Jew and Gentile, both one and Messiah. We all worship God's way, or it's the highway. I pray you have a blessed Shabbat, a blessed week. Always remember, let's live life in God's way so that we can approach him in spirit and in truth, Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, according to the spiritual principle of the Tabernacle of David. God bless you all.